All right, so John Wolfe reliving his childhood piano lessons.
Yeah.
So we were wrong.
We're not done.
Well, we're not quite done because there's a piano in the room, and it is a piano which has got a huge heritage for lots of us. And we were just talking before switching this back on about cuts which we particularly like, and I'm interested in how you create a particular ambiance for a cut, having listened to which was that one you just played me yesterday.
That was the from the It's Nice package, the music in the Night cut that I wrote, that I am fond of, one of many things I'm fond of, because I just thought it turned out nicely. The feel of not just a jingle but any song, any piece of music. And I'm not a music teacher or professor, otherwise I would have a better way to explain this. But you know, it's what the drums do and what the beat is like and what the bass does with the drums, and then what everybody else falls into doing, which has to do with also the tempo, which is the speed at which it's played, and you know, whether it's hard or soft, and whether it's, you know, straight, you know, rock and roll, or whether it's it's just there's this huge palette of stuff.
Yeah. So a starting point will be kind of referencing the genre, you know, what the expectations of a genre.
So for example, on that It's Nice cut that we listened to the other day, it was in vogue then for AC stations, adult contemporary stations, at night to have softer shows, to do love songs, to do dedications, you know, love songs on the coast, all those jingles. That's the name of a show that they ran or that they run at night, where people call up on the phone and they do dedications to their significant others or whatever. The one in Detroit at WNIC at the time was called Pillow Talk. It's the same sort of idea. So you know you want something pretty, and you know you want something maybe a little sexy with a little saxophone in it for some reason, you know. Yes. Strings and a saxophone connote sexiness used in the right way, I guess. Fewer and fewer stations do those kind of shows now, by the way. But that's another discussion for another reason. But in making that jingle, and in that package in general, they allowed us to, in addition to the short routine kind of cuts, do some longer imagey things just to, draw some attention to their various shows at different times of day. And that nighttime one was just one where I wanted to write it like a song. Of course, all of our songs are compressed in time because they can't last more than 30 or 60 seconds. But
when someone's asked you to write something, so you're writing that cut number, whatever it is, for that package, you've got a deadline then hanging over you to get it written by. And I know it will change from project to project, but what will be the kind of deadline? You've got a week or?
It varies, but usually the instructions aren't fully formed until a week or so before we're going to go in and record it, which doesn't mean that I do it then, because that's not the last minute. It means that the night before I won't get much sleep, but for me, I get better ideas at the last minute. And I don't know why that is. There's some psychological or scientific explanation for this, but you know, if I know that I have to write this thing and it's 2 weeks away, I'll stare at the blank piece of paper and nothing that I like will occur to me. It's not that I'm not trying. It's just, I don't know. If the session is in a day and a half, all of a sudden I get a good idea.
Right.
And I don't know why that is. Yeah. It's just, it just is.
Yeah.
But also we were talking about the fact that, and this goes to how do people write songs, and, you know, that's a whole documentary in and of itself. Hmm. But, you know, sometimes the lyrics, well, with a jingle, typically the lyrics come first, because the whole point of the jingle is to convey a lyric, a message. So the lyrics always come first. But sometimes, as you're writing the lyrics, the melody suggests itself and occurs to you as you go along. And the best ones, especially the longer jingles, the best ones are the ones that write themselves. It's like, you know, you just, and usually you're just playing around, and you go, music in the night, yeah, okay, music, I like that. What can I do with that? And it just kind of, the melody suggests the words suggests the melody, and it gives you a nice cohesive thing. Usually, if you're trying to write a track, and you find yourself spending more than 5 minutes going, well, how can I get from here to here? What, I don't. If it doesn't come to you fast enough, you're forcing it, and it's never gonna. I mean, it might be okay, but it's not going to be one of the stellar musical achievements of mankind. Whereas, you know, if the melody just kind of flows out of you, sometimes the melody comes first in songwriting. I mean, famously, when Paul McCartney wrote Yesterday, which is a classic, he didn't have the lyrics in mind. He just liked the melody. Mm. And he sang Scrambled Eggs, where Yesterday is. Yeah, I mean, he talks about that. You know, he goes, Scrambled Eggs, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because he didn't know the words. And then once he had that nice tune, he sat down and came up with the lyrics everybody knows. But, he didn't have to fit in the Drake logo.
So isn't it true? So as soon as on a custom cut, you've been told what the feel or the sound of it is, if it's got to be, you know, kind of authoritative, big, newsy, mm-hmm. that's your mind will immediately start thinking, right, that's going to have this kind
big,
of...
Big, newsy. There's big news.
Right, okay. And then it's wacky breakfast show kind of stuff.
Wacky breakfast show, you know, is two-beat circus music. You know? You know? I mean, it's goofy. It's supposed to be goofy.
Smoochy.
And oh, by the way, speaking of Radio 1 jingles, the Jackie Brambles jingle... You know you wanna, you don't, you know you have to, you don't wanna, time to get up, take a look at the clock, which was originally written for Jackie Brambles when she was on Radio 1. It was not a Z100 cut first. It was a Radio 1 cut first. And I had met her for a little while and sat in the studio and we talked and she was lovely and charming and everything. And so that also helps. That it's good to have inspiration if you know who you're writing for,
right,
or if you can envision that, oh, if I write this for her, she'll smile and like that. I mean, well, it's something.
Yeah,
it figures
makes
into
sense.
It.
Makes sense.
It figures into it. And, you know, I have to tell you that the lyrics of that cut are fairly autobiographical. The whole thing about not wanting to get up, I didn't have to search very hard for those words. It was just, it's my opinion of mourning set to music.
And if it was, and then if you'd been asked, as you were, for this kind of love songs type feel to it, so you're immediately thinking what?
Well, that's when you can use all the pretty chords, I call them the schmaltzy chords, all the carpenter's chords, and all the pretty strings line. You know, love songs on the coast. I mean, this is all this pretty jazz stuff, you know. Or you know, And I can, I mean, I can play those chords endlessly. I mean, if you take me out of the box and put in the batteries and flick the on switch, I'll just play this kind of stuff. Probably better if you weren't recording it. One chord leads to another. I have no idea what I'm playing. I'm just making this up. Because I like these.
You're making that up?
Yeah, I'm just playing. And there's no rhyme or reason to it, and there's no melody to it. There could be if I actually paid attention.
If ever there was
I'm slightly intimidated knowing it's being recorded, and so I'm making mistakes I wouldn't normally make. You know. So if it's the Jeff Barton Love Songs show, you know, you would sit here and think of a melody for it, you know. Here, it's the Jeff Barton Love Songs show. And then, okay, well, I've established now that's going to be the Jeff Barton Love Songs show. So what can I do with, how can you further that melody? So it's a... You know, and you just go with it and find something. And eventually, if you screw around long enough, you play something. Oh, what did I just do? That was good. And then you can't ever remember it. And then you have to play for another 5 minutes hoping to stumble on it again. You know.
You're going to charge me for a personal cut for that.
Yeah.
Now, if ever you wrote a love song, it was that New York 97 song where you were the lyricist, weren't you, on that.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, every collector knows it. Now, as you know, I'm an English teacher, and the thing that's hooked me about it is not just that intoxicating melody that it's got and the way it keeps reinventing itself all the way through with different styles, but also it's got lyrics which speak of a city which, you know, you were brought up in musically. You were meant to do your piano lessons, which you dutifully did. You were taught about writing from a father who was a journalist.
Yeah.
And you were a jingle collector, and you put those things together, and I just think that was a kind of culmination of stuff. Just talk us through the New York 97 song.
Well, you know, it was all about, you know, New York 97, which was WYNY in its early incarnation. And, you know, they wanted to be thought of as a real part of New York City, you know, which is why the last two letters in their name is NY. So they wanted to be the heart of the city and just try to be that. And, you know, they liked the idea of having this suite, which is really what it is, of, you know, talking about the morning, you know, a verse about the morning, a verse about during the workday, a verse about at night, you know, which, of course, you know, they would use small sections of at the appropriate times. Rarely was the entire full song played, although it was played once, and I have an air check of it.
Do you?
It was played once, at least once, in its entirety. And it was played once in its entirety as an instrumental, because we gave them an instrumental where instruments were substituting for the singers.
So they had a full instrumental, because normally you wouldn't do that, I suppose, would you?
Yeah, yeah. But not to be confused with a track. I mean, this did have a melody on it. It's just that it was flutes and saxophones and guitars instead of the singers. But, you know, so it was pretty simple for me to just visualize, you know, what comes to my mind. And I knew all the landmarks and the names of the highways and the buildings and things that should be stuck in there. So if I was writing a song about some other city I wasn't familiar with, I'd have to do some research, or they would have to send me information, or these days we'd go on the web and see, okay, what's the big deal about Des Moines, Iowa? What do they have? Oh, well, they have this and they have that. And you'd work it in. Fortunately, I knew all that from having grown up there. So I said, one thing that some others had done in city songs, by others I mean other producers, other companies. They had done those. And the reason I didn't like them and still don't is because, yeah, it's cool that there's this 60-second long jingle, but it's just a list of stuff. It's just a laundry list of town names or a laundry list of tourist attractions. You know, we've got the such and such building and such library. We've got the this street, this street, da, da, da. And I call that a singing phone book. It's just a list.
Yes.
But it doesn't evoke any emotion. It doesn't sound artistic. It doesn't sound like a song or a piece of poetry or something that has some soul to it. And the New York 97 song was, see, this is coming back to me as I think more about it. The New York 97 song was my attempt to be the antithesis of that. It's like, yes, we can mention all these things, but we can put a little bit of creativity or artistry, if you will, into the lyrics so that it's a little more like a song. Yes, at the end of the day, it's a jingle. Yes, it's a commercial. Yes, it's a self-serving song about how great our station is. But it doesn't have to be that crass, and it doesn't have to sound like a laundry list of, you know, we have another expression, which is, you know, when we do a commercial jingle for a client, for a store or something, not so much the big national ones, because they have ad agencies, but if you're dealing directly with a guy that runs a little store in Montgomery, Alabama, and he wants a jingle to do his commercial, and it's like, well, what do you want to say about your store? And it's always the same thing. It's always, well, quality, service, value. and I swear this happened once. Ample store side parking. which has become a catchphrase around here. And I, in trying or imploring them to reconsider, I say, okay, that is a singing Yellow Pages ad. You know what the Yellow Pages are. It's the phone directory with all the businesses in it. I said, that's your Yellow Pages ad. That's the bullet points that you put in an ad. That's not a jingle that's going to convey much of anything memorable or create an emotional link. So it's the same thing with the jingles, with the song. I didn't want it to be a singing Yellow Pages ad. So, you know, the skyline meets the sun, the city rises to a day of surprise, there's so much to be done. It's a poem. Yeah,
but it's got a kind of chronological structure because it starts at dawn and finishes the end of the night. Was that something which they had said, we'd like it to have these day parts, or was that something which just gave you a logic to?
Well, no, I think we, in discussing it, talked about, you know, the virtues of having part of it that they could run in the morning and part of it they could run at night and so on. It was probably my idea to make it one big long thing or to write it like one. That's why I call it a suite, because it's really three or four distinct sections that are bridged. It's almost like an overture, like at the beginning of a Broadway musical while the people are coming in. Mm. You know, used to be that the orchestra would play bits and pieces of all the songs that came from that show, and they'd all be bridged together in a medley. And, you know, the three or four sections of that song really are very different from each other, although they have the common melody, but they're different feels, they're different.
But also, you choose different vocalists as well, don't you? Because going shopping, never stopping bit has got this kind of perky female voice, if I remember.
Yes, that's Abby, the perky female.
Is it?
well, Chris sang the opening thing.
Okay. Which has got a beautiful kind of tenderness to it. I've loved that.
Yeah, it's a bit of Manilow is what it is, really. If you listen to the piano part and the way it starts and the cymbal roll and the oboe and all that, it's very Manilow-esque.
Yes.
Which is a good thing. We like that. And then the middle part is the kind of bouncy middle of the day stuff. And the end, or the near the end, which is sung by Earl Moss, you know, about the city's mind is turned to fun.
Yeah.
That whole section.
I love the phrasing of that, because that is such unusual phrasing. You know, you to say the city's mind is to, as this is English teacher time, personifies the city. So the city is itself alive,
yes,
and is something, is doing something, is making a decision. I just loved that.
Yes, which you feel it is if you're there.
Yeah.
But so that had more of a funky, soulful beat to it, because it's people going out at night and partying and all that. So we were trying to get that vibe to it.
Who was singing that?
And then Earl Moss was the soloist, right, on that part. And then at the end, you know, for better or worse, it has to turn into being a jingle. So the end is sung by the group, and you know, and it's the same group that sings the 20 little IDs in that package. So it kind of ties it together to like, okay, and here's the WYNY singers.
Yes,
folks,
but you throw know. In a key change, I think, as well, don't you? To kind of
several.
Because yeah. And just explain to me, because I trot out that notion of key change,
mm-hmm,
because I know that it does something emotionally as soon as there's a key change. What is it that a key change is doing there?
Well, if you modulate, which is to say change from one key to another, ever increasing upward, it just keeps getting higher and brighter, and you know, there are a lot of songs that do it. It also keeps it from being monotonous, because you know, because if you're in this key forever and ever for 5 minutes, but it's nice to eventually go, and now you're in this key instead, you know. It just keeps it from being tedious. But if you go from this key to this key to this key to this key, it just keeps getting brighter
kind of
and
uplifting.
Happier. And, yeah. But it's just a thing to make it. It's a thing we do.
I know, but you must listen to that song as someone who's brought up in that city, and listen to it. And, of course, it's got a particular poignant line in it, isn't it? Because it talks about the World Trade Center towers.
Yeah.
And you can't listen to that song without thinking of a more innocent world that New York, not that New York was seen as innocent, but you know what I mean, that once prevailed. And
yes.
Is it something you would occasionally just kind of listen to in the car, or listen to just for pleasure? Do you do that with your own work?
Yeah. Not every minute of every day, because usually I hear enough of it during the course of the day to listen to something else in the car, the radio, the news, somebody else's jingles from a sampler or something sometimes. But, you know, I do have the first 20 years CD stuck in my CD changer in the car.
Don't we all?
And yeah. every now and then when I need to self-motivate myself, I'll listen to a little bit of it and go, oh, yeah, this stuff is all pretty good. Okay, no wonder people like it. It's not bad. And, you know, so, yeah, I'll play it from time to time. And I think I told you the other day, one of the things that drives me to keep working and working on something to make it as perfect as we can is because I never want to hear it later, be it a day, a week, or 10 years, and go, crap, why didn't I fix that? Or, damn, that's still out of tune. Or, you know, that drum beat is too loud, and it always has been, and why didn't... And I will do that to myself. Not that everything is 100% perfect to that standard. There are things that I nitpick and go, God. But for the most part, especially the produced things, the demos, the CDs that we send out and things like that, you know, I don't want to hear it either coming out of a CD player or out of a radio and go, oh... I want to hear and go, yeah, that's what it's supposed to sound like. So for the most part, we succeed in doing that.
Definitely.
So I'm trying to make it to my standard.
Your exacting standard.
To my standard of what I think it should be, which purely by fortune seems to meet or exceed what most other people think it should be. So everybody's usually happy.
We started this discussion, I can't remember when, some time ago, talking about logos. and we finished talking about the New York song, just wrap up just by reminding us of some of the great logos from American, from New York stations.
New York stations. Well, of course, the grandfather of them all is, let's see. Well, the WABC, of course, the 77 WABC. But when I was growing up, there was a station called WNEW, New
for New York. I love that.
And WNEW was a station, was the primary station that my parents liked to listen to, because it played the Frank Sinatra, the big band stuff, Tony Bennett, all the... And they had magnificent jingles that actually were one of the first that I ever noticed as a
and great lyrics. I always remember listening from Philadelphia to "Nice Things Happen to People Who Listen to Radio 113."
Yeah, so that was what was it? Change key. I should have practiced. If I knew we were going to do this, I
wouldn't. You didn't know I was going to do that.
I wouldn't be making all these terrible mistakes. But the WNEW logo and jingles are among my favorite.
Beautiful.
I mean, they're old style now.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're just beautiful. They're just very nice.
They spoke of a city and an era in a way.
Yes. You know. And of course, anytime, any place, any W, that would not syndicate very well. So we always used to joke about doing a jingle that goes anytime, any place, P-E-N. That was an ongoing joke. For me. There, I wanted to do it justice and play it right at least once. There. That was
fabulous.
That was better. Well, and then, of course, you know, you had WYNY, New York 97. So. It's hard to do that and not want to go into the song.
Yes, yes.
Which would go here, but. You know. WPLJ, we did that for a long time, and it was until they decided to be Power 95, and then they used the ABC logo to play off of WABC. Of course, they're related.
Yes.
It's the FM of WABC, really.
Yes.
You know, let's see.
NBC.
Oh, of course. Well, the WNBC, we talked a long time ago about the NBC chimes. And
that must make writing a jingle harder if you've got to.
And the NBC chimes form the WNBC logo. That's the beauty of, you know. There are the chimes. So, you know, 66. Well, what's on 66 now? WFAN. What's their melody for 66? It came from the.
Yeah.
The fact that WNBC,
it's the heritage.
Yeah, but see, you have to know the heritage to use it.
Yeah,
and a lot of most everyone making jingles outside of this building doesn't know the heritage or frankly care. And maybe they're right. Maybe it doesn't matter, but it matters to me. So you know, I at least have the information to be able to say, you know, well, if we kept that 66 the same, it would be, you know. Sometimes that's a good idea and sometimes it isn't. But speaking of WFAN, you know, is a different kind of thing, you know.
And they've, yeah, that's not using your ninth you were talking to me about the other day.
It was in there.
But that's had to have a bit of a reinvention, hasn't it? Because they've got more frequencies added in.
Well, they about a year ago, a little more, acquired an FM station, so they're currently simulcasting, putting the same thing on the AM and the FM. So when they first did that, you know, they wanted to promote it without sounding in any way like the station had changed. So we took some of the New York fan cuts that they've been using for decades, and brilliantly, if I say so myself, edited and expanded the tracks to accommodate singing about the FM frequency as well. And that worked for a while, but then, you know, now they're at the stage where they really want to push the FM more, and so they wanted a new package that still sang both of the frequencies, but mentioned the FM first. So it became Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, The Fan, WFAN. It's a lot. It's a little bit cumbersome to say. And they wanted it to have a real classic rock kind of sound.
Kind of more male vocal, isn't it?
More male, more guitars and
can
all
you show
stuff.
Us what the logo sounds like now?
It's Sports... That's Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. Which is a mouthful to put into every cut, but we managed to do it in a new package, which as of this moment does not have a name yet.
Right.
And which we haven't officially released, even though it is on the air in New York, because we're still modifying some of the cuts. We're still adding to it and playing with it. And it's very... a very bad idea to release a package before it's fully formed. Because we've been pressured into doing that a few times, and what happens is you get versions of the demo floating around, because you can never control where they go after they leave here, especially these days with email and MP3s. And then somebody orders cut 5, and then you have to go, okay, well, is it cut 5 before we changed it, or cut 5 after we changed it? Which demo do you have? And they don't know. And it's very confusing. And so in our own self-interest, let's get the package finished. Let's have it be in its final form, make a lyric sheet, number the cuts, have all of our transfers and reductions ready to go if somebody should happen to order it, and put it out then. So, you know, and typically when a new package comes out, we also want to present it to certain select clients before the whole world has a go at it for various contractual reasons. So that seems to delay the release of packages.
Also, you need time to polish the pun that will be in the title.
It's not the pun so much as the rationalization for the title. Many times the title is rationalized only by the silly demo copy.
Yeah.
Or the names of packages are our futile attempt to do something with the call letters of the station. You know, laser image comes from WBLI. Well, LI really stands for Long Island in that context, but that's not a good package name. So what can we call these shotguns? LI, laser image, okay. You know, there's a lot of, you know, Xyroc. It's a jam word. We made it up, which is one of my favorite demo lines. Well, it was KRXY. What can you make from that? Xyroc. Okay, we'll call it Xyroc. And then in the demo, the self-deprecating demo, we make fun of how stupid the names of some of the packages are, because we know it's silly. But okay,
I think I need to go and get a plane.
Now you really are going
to miss it. Okay, so, Jonathan Wolfert, great talking to you. Real privilege. Thank you for the jingles.
Thank you for being interested and listening and finding any of this of interest.